Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 4th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, negotiators are in Geneva this week working on the ag portions of the WTO. The ag minister in Australia says genetically modified crops must be developed to deal with climate change. And a USDA economist is predicting higher food prices in the coming year. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then we'll hear from University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. It all happens on this Friday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at $9.31.5, down 13.5. The May contract, 8 cents lower at $9.44.5. And July futures at 8.17 1/4, up 5 1/4. March corn futures at 4.66 3/4, 3/4 higher. The May contract at $4.78, up 1 1/4. And July futures at 4.87 3/4, up 1 1/4. December corn futures 4.86 3/4, up 1 on the afternoon. January soybean futures $12.49, down 2.5. The March down a nickel at 12.62 1/2. And the May futures at 12.79 1/2, down 5 cents. November at $11.60 3/4. Down 0.75 cents for the day. January bean meal futures 342, down 210. March bean meal at 348.30, down 230. January bean oil 50.55, 5 cents higher. The March contract unchanged at 51.18. Mercantile exchange numbers from the CME Group. Live cattle February contract 94.55, 22.5 lower. April futures down a dime at $96.95 a hundredweight. Now the feeder cattle. January futures $100.32.5, down $1.47.5. March contracted $103.35, finished 57.5 cents lower. February lean hog futures 56.40, 7.5 cents lower. April futures down 47.5 at 61.90. And the May contract at 68.92.5, down 55 for the afternoon. Outside markets for the day, taking a look at the crude oil now. February contract $97.90 a barrel, down $1.28. The March at 97.50, down 1.44 for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,808 is currently 248 points lower for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look now at what happened in the ag markets in Chicago at the Mercantile Exchange and the Board of Trade with us today is Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, for Friday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Friday and Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. Good Friday. You know, as we take a look at the week, it was a pretty good week for the commodities across the board. We're talking about corn up 14 cents in the nearbys for the week. Beans were up, 40 or thereabouts, and wheat futures managed a 46 or 38 cent gain for the week. Not too terribly bad.
No, it really seemed like that the more medium-term funds and some of the longer-term commodity index funds were noted in some of the Dow Jones and Reuters and Bloomberg wire reports that they were coming in the new year, and that seemed to bolster the psychology. Probably most importantly, though, was the fact that those trend lines and those short-term moving averages, kind of where we left it last Friday, were those vulnerable to be taken out? Yes, and the meal was starting to show that it had been taken out, but we tried to attribute that to a light volume trade, and then we really wanted to count, you know, post-holiday trade as the real deal, so to speak, and that we had a lot of back-and-forth action with the electronic order in the July beans and the August beans, and just a lot of skittishness during that holiday trade. And so when we got past that and we broke out of some of the weekly ranges and made some new contract highs in beans and actually new 34-year highs in beans, it seemed like those medium-term and longer-term funds were coming in and taking up their long positions along with the rest of the shorter-term people.
You know, tell me just a bit more about the funds and what they've been saying over the past week and what kind of positions, how big maybe they think they'll be coming in if they've readjusted their allocations and what their outlook for the commodity markets, in particular grains and oil seeds, might be?
A lot of the allocations annually are done at this point, especially once we get past the middle of the month. There may be some lagging to be done. Deutsche Bank and the Deutsche Bank mean reversion, from our understanding, they can do stuff each month in terms of repositioning and rebalancing, and there may be a couple others out there that do the exact same thing, but the annual funds like the Goldman Sachs and the Dow AIG funds, they typically go annualized. They typically do it in January, late December, so we think most of that is done in terms of the commodity index funds. Commodity trading funds, whole different scenario. They are the guys that are just hard to tie down. The only way you can look at them is on the Commitment to Traders report and try and access some of the blogs and websites and try and find a good one that seems to give you good information. Right now, the commodity trading funds seem like they're not much in the wheat at all. That's really the commodity index funds that are in the wheat. Beans and corn, exact opposite. The last Commitment to Traders we viewed, it looked like that the commodity trading funds were just a little bit heavier longs in corn and beans than the commodity index people, and that would make sense given where some of these commodity trading funds are saying we like ag better than we like the wheat and the energies and the metals. And that's kind of how we distinguish things right now, is we think overall, Todd, economically, everybody's going to buy commodities and equities based upon global demand and based upon inflation and a weak dollar, but you can try and, you know, split these people out by segments and sectors, and some of these commodity trading funds who are not tied down and do have to margin their positions may pick subsectors and come in and do it that way. So that's kind of where we stand right now. Most of it's probably done in the index side, but the commodity trading people could continue to add more. I haven't heard any numbers as far as amount more that they're going to put in. I do know Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank both thought that the near term, the bean market in 2008 and the near term could get into that $14.50 level. The trade really grabbed a hold of that Newswire story. I think it was on Wednesday or yesterday.
So that I understand this, so we're talking about two different types of traders. One would be, I guess, the trading funds, which you would think more of adding liquidity to the marketplace.
Right, open interest. The commodity index funds who get long and stay long, those are the guys that really build your open interest and have for the last 4 or 5 years. The commodity trading funds are CTAs. You know, they're commodity trading advisors that hedge funds primarily use to trade portions of their money into the commodity markets. And so the hedge funds will use ETFs, exchange-traded funds, exchange-traded future funds, and then they'll also use just outright commodity futures, and that's where they use the CTAs, which we would classify as a commodity trading fund.
Yeah, I suppose the one our audience might be most familiar with would be, and I think this is right, though don't quote me on it exactly, would be John Bondurant.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like a CTA in the agricultural sector in particular, right?
Mm-hmm. So they're adding liquidity and moving in and out of the marketplace. So and the bulk of the funds, though, the biggest dollars are in the index funds, and if they are rebalancing at this time and they're purchasing, when they stop doing that this month, what happens? Do we have a false sense of security to the top side, or do we lose the bottom in this? What happens at that point?
I think that once the commodity index fund people are done, what we noticed in 2004 and 2005, we have a little bit of history now, but what we noticed about that time period was when the commodity index people were done, the commodity trading people kept the trade alive, and you kind of had to feed the bull, so to speak, at that point to keep the commodity trading investment active and alive, and then on the buy side. Now, when we did see the commodity indexes start to liquidate long positions back in that 04 and 05 time period, if memory serves me right, those commodity trading funds got very nervous at that point, and they themselves went ahead and got short. They not only liquidated their longs, but they also got short that market because they saw the indexes were liquidating their longs and taking that open interest down. That's why we made such a big deal of the open interest here in the last few weeks, is that if we would see a big drop in open interest, I think whether we'd be right or not, the market would assume that's probably index fund money being pulled out, and that would come, you know, probably in a couple to several months. You wouldn't think that they would pull money right after they put some in. So that's probably the best leading indicator we have to the index people in Chicago in particular are thought of as being much, much bigger players and much, much more important longer-term players for that liquidity you keep talking about. They're much more important in that respect because they do seem to manipulate and move the commodity trading funds from longs to shorts, and that's kind of an indicator for those folks on that side of the ledger.
You know, can you define open interest and what it is from the Board of Trade?
Open interest would be when you have an outstanding long position, and if you liquidate an outstanding long position, then your open interest would drop. If you enter into a new short position, that doesn't necessarily drop your open interest. So really what it boils down to be is, what are your outstanding long positions in the market? And that's a rough definition of what open interest is.
So open interest would be the people that believe the market will go higher.
Correct.
Is that necessarily the case? It's not the case on the flip side of the shorts.
I think that's exactly right. And I think that history has shown us that when open interest is decreasing, it tends to show that there's less new longs coming in, and it doesn't mean that it's that big of a deal. What really is not healthy is when you have the prices going down and open interest going up. That's when you say to yourself, wow, there's not only probably old longs getting out of their long positions, there's probably actually new shorts entering into their positions as well.
So what does it all mean for the farmer at this point as he looks at both old and new crop corn and soybean sales?
I think in a nutshell, whether you talk about the funds or you talk about China, I mean, China is going to probably be the tip of the marketing spirit. You know, to kind of use a military term, China and their inflation and their weather patterns are probably going to be as big a factor to the funds as anything else out there this year, because that's where a lot of the funds research we've done. Why do they like agricultural commodities so much? Because food price inflation. Where's food price inflation the worst at right now? China. Who's got the Olympics this year? China. And so China seems to be that tip of the marketing spear. And so if you're a producer, I think we want to line ourselves up this year in 2008 that, okay, 07 was a demand market. We had a very good, strong demand market that could keep the rallies going. Dips would be bought. Funds would stay long. 2008, because we put a lot of premium into these prices now, once we get up to that March time period, if we keep this, you know, long open interest and keep this rally going all the way into the first part of March, we suspect that's going to be an indicator that then the end is near, where the supply side takes over. You're much more dependent upon weather, and you're much more dependent upon China, and that's where you really don't want to be if you're a farmer. So you really do want to take that unlimited risk position into known risk positions, meaning calls and puts, and defend your sales, get your puts bought, and assume that after the first quarter of 08, if this market keeps going up into March, assume after the first quarter of 08, any little thing could knock this market down pretty hard.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzolo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. They're in Lafayette, Indiana. Somebody from that office, usually Mike, joins us each and every Friday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. Here's the forecast from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight in northern Illinois, it'll become cloudy with some patchy fog, a few freezing areas of drizzle after midnight. In central and southern Illinois, mostly cloudy, windy, scattered showers developing after midnight. In Indiana, increasing cloudiness and windy. Lows this evening from 26 in the north to 38 in the southern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy, a few scattered showers. The highs tomorrow will range from 37 in northwestern Indiana to 53 in southern Illinois. Here's Dave.
In agricultural news, negotiators yesterday began what will be 9 days of discussions in Geneva in an effort to reach world accord on agricultural trade. The talks, called by World Trade Ambassador Crawford Faulkner, is expected to focus on technical issues, including the designation and treatment of sensitive agricultural products, market access, and export competition, including food aid and export credits. Faulkner will brief all WTO member nations on the talks next Friday. Key Australian officials say the use of genetically modified crops may be needed to deal with the effects of climate change. Australian Agricultural Minister Tony Burke says GMOs can provide some answers for drought-hit farmers. Australia's drought has stretched for 7 years in some areas of the country. Burke says the Australian government is also considering new water strategies where there can be changes in plowing methods. USDA economist Ephraim Leiptag says consumers can expect higher food prices in 2008.
The biggest factor going forward in 2008 is the higher commodity costs and, of course, higher energy costs, which affect the entire economy. Right now, we're forecasting food price inflation 3-4% in 2008, which would put it slightly below what we saw in 2007, but still pretty high.
In 2007, food prices increased by 4%, the biggest jump since 1990. Leiptag says in 2008, look for the biggest jump in price in foods made with wheat or soybeans.
Even though wheat is a small fraction of the overall cost, when wheat prices double, it's going to have an effect, and the commodities have doubled. So 5 or 6% is certainly not out of the question for wheat products. And certainly soybeans that are all-time high have an impact on the fats and oils category. So right now, fats and oils and cereals and bakery products are the ones leading the way in 08.
Leiptag projects consumers will also pay an average of 2 to 3% more for milk, dairy products, beef, pork, and poultry. John Deere has postponed the release of its new cotton harvester till 2009, citing concerns about the machine's reliability. Deere officials say customers who ordered the 7760 unit for the 2008 growing season will be individually contacted. The machine is half cotton picker, half large round baler. Deere says it will continue to test the machine during the 2008 growing season. And Monsanto yesterday reported its first quarter earnings of $256 million. That's nearly three times higher than for the same period a year ago. Revenue surged 36% behind a strong performance of Monsanto's Latin American business. Monsanto says agricultural sales were $1.36 billion from $859 million a year ago for the same period. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, the corn market should stay strong through the first half of 2008. I'll have more with U of I Ag economist Daryl Good. Volatile is a term many analysts, including Daryl Good, use to describe the market for corn in the United States. It's a generic term the University of Illinois Ag economist uses to describe the price range corn is expected to trade in over the next 6 months.
As an example, we're 4 months into the marketing year. We've already seen corn prices, cash corn prices, trade in a range exceeding a dollar a bushel already. So on a daily basis, I mean, it wouldn't be unusual to see corn prices jumping 10, 15 cents. As you get into the planting and growing season, maybe bigger, that over a period of time swinging 30, 40 cents. So there is going to be some nervous time when prices can move a bit lower short term. But I think keeping the eye on the big picture, this says that there doesn't look like there's opportunity for sustained declines in prices at this point.
That is because demand for corn domestically and globally is keeping pace with and sometimes outpacing supply. Daryl Good says it means farmers should decide now how much of the corn in storage they would like to carry into the spring of the year, maybe 30-40%. He calls this the speculative inventory. And then for the rest of the old crop corn to simply ignore the market as long as it doesn't unexpectedly break heavily to the downside, and simply sell some corn every couple of weeks to get down to that inventory level.
So if I've already sold 80% of the crop, then maybe I'm not going to do anything else now until spring. If I haven't sold anything, then I'm saying, okay, I'm going to meter that out over the next few months so I get down to my spring inventory target. I think trying to outguess the market on a daily basis is going to be difficult, but just say, let me sell some every week or every couple weeks and meter it out and get down to whatever I want to hold into that spring time frame.
Good is not an aggressive seller of new crop corn. He would prefer to stand to the sidelines and wait for the crop insurance price setting month of February to pass. And if that's high enough, well, above $4, then simply remain on the sidelines unless prices march even higher during the new crop growing season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about basis in your part of East Central Illinois.
We went through a huge area of ownership transfer. Board rallied. The farmers sold into it. The basis spent the first, November into early December, hanging in there very well. Sold off the last couple weeks in November. This last week, it's been steady on corn, beans. We've lost a couple cents nearby. The deferred's unchanged.
And then if you were to predict what would happen in the next month, would you have an idea?
I would say right now the market is pretty well satisfied with the amount of grain on the books. There has been a huge amount of cash movement out here. The export houses sounds like they are pretty well booked up on what they can load as far as boats for January, February. They're looking out now, March, April, May time period. So I think if corn wants to move nearby, it'll see the basis, a good chance we'll see the basis back off some more.
By how much do you think?
Boy, that I would hate to say.
But you think the pipeline is satisfied?
I think the pipeline is very satisfied. I would hate to go out and try and book another train right now. I think basically we've got the pipeline at capacity for the next 2 months.
For the next 2 months?
Yes.
How often does that happen? That seems like, does that only happen in the fall or generally?
Yes. Fall or, in January. Sometimes you see that surge in January movement out here. But the farmer had been a good scale-up seller into a tremendous rally, so that's put a lot of grain out there.
How much old crop corn do you think they still have on hand?
Oh, my. Old crop? I am not sure. I'll have to look on that. Now, I was looking at some new crop numbers,
and I was
just amazed Wednesday. We have 16% of our total fall handle booked right now. If I look at what my Sepoc Nove new crop purchases are versus what I handled last year, and that was a record corn year, I'm 16% of that right now. And historically, I would say that is a very big number, and some of the elevators I talk to are probably clustered on either side of that, so we're right in line.
And if I recall correctly, were you this far along last year? I know you were a long way ahead.
We were a long way ahead last year, but not this far.
Not this far.
Of course, we weren't at 454 for new crop corn either.
Indeed. Speaking of those kinds of numbers, what are your bids for the day?
We are 444 nearby corn into Paxton and 454 for new crop. Beans at 1210 for January, and new crop only a measly 1122.
When you put measly with it, that's just kind of funny.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. One quick correction before we get you to the regional newscast for the afternoon. Mike Zuzulo and I were talking about open interest, and I think I probably put words into his mouth is that it did not include the shorts. Open interest does, in fact, include both the longs and the shorts in the markets that don't have an opposite side to them. So that's what the open interest is. Wanted to make that correction before we moved along to your regional newscast, which comes up, of course, right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. One state senator says he's glad that Governor Blagojevich has released additional funding for school districts. But the governor's action today on a so-called budget implementation bill is an amendatory veto. He says he used his veto power to change a provision on special education funding. Republican Dale Ryder of Mattoon says pending the legislature's approval of that veto, the action frees up the money that lawmakers extended to local school districts in last year's contentious budget process. Some districts say they've had to adjust their spending because of the delay in funding. Ryder hopes the General Assembly acts on the bill as early as next week. The retrial of a lawsuit that accuses the Springfield Police Department of racial discrimination is underway in federal court. A former police lieutenant testified yesterday about what she felt were racially based rumors that followed her for an entire 21-year career and her transfer from the Internal Affairs Department to field support. The owner of three horses that died of starvation is being held in the Piatt County Jail. Sheriff's deputies say they arrested Richard Pagel of Mansfield yesterday. The horses were found on Pagel's farm December 26th. Chief Deputy Todd McGabe says Pagel was arrested on suspicion of aggravated animal cruelty, a felony. A Piatt County Jail spokesman says his bond hasn't been set yet. Authorities weren't sure if Pagel has an attorney, and a phone number listed in Pagel's name has been disconnected. State agriculture investigators found the horses on Pagel's farm. A fourth horse is still alive. Indiana is giving doctors their first Medicaid payment rate increase in nearly 14 years. That means patients might soon have a greater selection of doctors. The Family and Social Services Administration says a rate increase of $32 million a year that took effect with the start of 2008 covers certain primary care and preventive measures. Doctors will also get a total of $39 million in bonuses for care they've provided over the last 18 months. State's Medicaid Director Jeff Wells says he hopes the rate increases will lead to more doctors accepting new Medicaid patients. The state and federally funded health care program for the needy enrolls about 880,000 people in Indiana, about one in every seven state residents. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined this afternoon by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right there at the Illinois State Water Survey located in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like we're going to warm up for the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change from what we've had to start the year. Temperatures will be getting into the 40s tomorrow, into the 50s. Probably on Sunday and maybe Monday as well, but I think perhaps some increasing clouds might help hold that down a bit, but it certainly will be a lot different than we've had the last few days.
And then if you look a little further out, Tuesday we have another change?
Yeah, well, looks like we might get some showers this weekend. Nothing too heavy over Illinois, but beginning maybe Monday night into Tuesday, there could be some pretty good rainfall coming through Illinois and Indiana during the day on Tuesday as a low-pressure system makes its way from Kansas up through Iowa and into Wisconsin and the Great Lakes. And that will drag a cold front through here that could produce some pretty substantial rain across all of Illinois and Indiana. Very likely could be some thunderstorms with that, and followed by a little turn to somewhat cooler weather after that goes through.
And then let's talk a little bit about the climate in the past year and how it compared to recent years.
Well, the year as a whole was interesting. We had some dry weather in the summer, spotty dry weather throughout the Midwest here, which did affect some of the growing areas. But in general, we had rain at the right times. Temperatures, I haven't looked at the actual final temperature for 2007 as a whole yet, but December sure ended up on a generally cooler note throughout most of Illinois. We had actually a rather wintry December with a lot of snow across the northern half of the state, much above normal snowfall in some areas, and a very wet December. So as we come out of 2007 into 2008, we're looking good as far as soil moisture goes. We're getting a lot of precipitation, and it looks like we'll stay in this active pattern. So I think we'll keep getting it at least through the first half or 3 weeks of January.
All right. We'll look forward to talking to you again next Friday.
All right.
Thanks much.
Bye, Todd.
Thank you. That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here at the Illinois State Water Survey on the campus of the University of Illinois. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning for Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. It airs at 11:30. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website this evening. It'll be posted at about 6 o'clock at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.